It's a little bit after 5 o'clock on just your normal Friday. It's a football Friday, and we've barely had a chance to talk football. It's that time of year, but I do promise you we will make our NFL picks, including us all picking the Jet game and the Giant game. We got a special Friday appearance from the great Joe Beningo. Felt it was important to hear from him after one of the most incredible Met victories, maybe of all time, after one of the most incredible weeks in Met history, considering what happened on Monday and obviously what then followed over the next couple of days. But at 5:07, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Brilliant research team done at the Evan Roberts compound tell us today that tomorrow will be the first time the Yankees and Mets play playoff games on the same day since October 7th, 2006. So I'm here to give you the top five things to remember about October 7th, 2006.
October, the day in general?
Yeah. The weekend in general was a Saturday. Here we go. Okay.
Number five.
That day, by the way, is proudly featured in My Mets Bible, still on sale now.
Okay, that's it. And by the way, Met fans, no better time than now to get ahead of that holiday shopping.
I'm a loser.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Number five. So October 7th, 2006 was a Saturday. The next day was a Sunday. Do you know what happened to our football locals?
That's a great question. I don't have any memory of what happened to our football locals.
I'm here to supply that for you.
Thank you.
The Giants, by the way, en route to a playoff spot, beat Washington 19-3. That day, Tiki Barber rushed for 123 yards. Plaxico scored the Giants' only touchdown.
Tiki's been very quiet lately, by the way.
He has awkwardly quiet. The Jets entered that game, do the math, 2-2, just like they are
this
year.
We had a good year that year. Made the playoffs. That was Eric Mangini's first year. Then they got killed by the Patriots.
But what did they do on that weekend where the Mets and Yankees played?
I don't really. Tell me the opponent. That could help out.
The Jaguars.
Oh, I know it. They got killed.
41-0.
Yeah.
The Jets lost to the Jaguars that day. So if you're looking for, obviously, and the Jaguars synonymous with London, Jets play there this weekend.
No, there's no parallel to that.
I'm just kidding.
No, the only parallel is falling to 2-3.
Well, they were 2-2.
We would not be happy about. Now, they did end up winning 10 games and making the playoffs, which we would be happy about. But as you recall, they got annihilated in the playoffs by the Patriots. Getting knocked out in the first round, we would not be happy with.
But that was that weekend in football compared to when the Mets and Yankees last played a playoff game on the same day. Here we go.
Number four.
The top movie in the box office that weekend.
2006. Jurassic Park 3.
The Departed. Think about how long ago The Departed was
out. A long time ago, man.
Also, Little Miss Sunshine was in theaters the same time. How about that?
Wow.
Big weekend. Here we go.
Number three.
The number one song in the U.S. in the Billboard charts.
Mbop.
No, it's interesting because I made a dad joke about this.
Was that far off? Mbop?
Mbop was in the 90s. About a decade or two long.
I'm bringing sexy back.
Oh, really? Oh, Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Interesting.
How about that?
Mbop was 1997, so you're correct. That was about 9 years off.
Yeah, who could forget Hanson's hit there?
All right. Number two.
I don't know why that's what came out of my mouth.
Now, Evan alluded to these last couple. I'm going to give you exactly what happened with the baseball locals. The Yankees, number two, they were eliminated by the Tigers in the ALDS.
Jeremy Bonderman.
Yeah. What also the series, remember, for tragically, Corey Lytle was killed in a plane crash a couple days later.
Yeah, that was very surreal. It was right around this radio station where Mike and Chris were very critical of, I think, comments that were made by Corey Lytle, where Corey Lytle appeared to be taking shots at Joe Torre, and Corey Lytle called in to defend himself against Mike and Chris. It turned into a very ugly fight. And then tragically, unrelated, obviously, he crashed his plane in New York City. And personally, it was surreal. I lived in Long Island City at the time. And we all ran out of our apartments because we had heard a plane hit a building in New York City. It's October of 2006. We are 5 years removed from 9/11. It was surreal. And so I'm outside with a bunch of my neighbors. And we're like, what happened? I forget what we saw. I don't think we actually saw anything, but we had heard about it. And so you hear, okay, it was legitimately an accident. It was not a terrorist attack. And then the swerve of all swerves is that Corey Lytle was in the plane. A guy who we had just watched play for the Yankees. It was very, very bizarre.
Bone-chilling and scary. And also, was that the same series Gary Sheffield played first base?
I think so. It was the same series where A-Rod batted eighth.
Right,
I can tell you that right now.
Which is crazy, figuring the Yankees' first base problems now. All right, here we go.
Number one.
Number one. The Mets won 9-5, sweeping the Dodgers in the NLDS. But, as Evan alluded to in My Mets Bible, the crazy factoid, who was the starting pitcher for the Dodgers? Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
A washed-up Greg Maddux.
Unreal.
Really? You went back to My Man's Bible to know that I mentioned
Come
that?
Come on, Ev. You got to do your homework, kid.
That day, and this was, I admit, a part of a time in my life in which I didn't like the New York Yankees, was referred to as Elimination Day. Because not only did the Mets and the Yankees play on the same day, the Mets eliminated the Dodgers and the Tigers eliminated the Yankees.
Now,
so for the Met fan Yankee hater, it was a very, very special day in Met history. Little did we know that after that, it would all go downhill.
Yeah.
Because the Mets would lose in the ALCS to a team they needed to beat. And 3 years later, the Yankees won the World Series, and the Mets couldn't find the playoffs for 9 years.
So we're hoping for a better result from all of our teams upon the same day. And as always, now I close Cinco de Mayo with your dad joke of the day.
Yeah.
What are all letters typed in from the zoo?
I don't know.
Elephant.
All right. Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry you're here.
Thank you, Sean. We really appreciate that.
You get it?
Yes, there's elephant and font, and yeah, you put it together.
All right, let's have fun in the final hour plus the show.
Thank you, Sean. You know, thinking about 2006 did remind me of this with the Mets. It's very odd. If you look at Met postseason history, more times than not, they beat the teams that are better than them and lose to the teams they're better than. Like 2006, they played a Cardinal team that won 83 games, and the Mets were clearly the best team in the National League. And what happened? They lost.
They lost.
I think the Dodgers and the Cubs were probably better than them in 2015, but the Mets got hot at the right time. They went on this great run, and here we go. In 2022, at least over the course of the regular season, they were far better than the San Diego Padres, and then they lost to them. During this regular season, the Brewers were better than the Mets. They beat them. So they have had this trend over their postseason history where it seems like they win the series where they're not the better team, but then when they are the better team, things don't go very well.
Things go weird. Which also I wanted to get to before the show gets up. Do you think Pete Alonso has hit his last home run as a Met?
I hope not. Jeez.
It's an interesting fact.
What a morbid question that is.
Well, you know, why not ask it now?
You want me to give a prediction?
An honest answer. It's not meant to be negative.
We are in the business of predictions. We like to correct ourselves and play audio to show how dumb we are, how right we are. I think Pete Alonso will hit another home run as a New York Met. I think that home run is going to come in game three of the division series. I keep calling it divisional series. And I had a guy email me and say, Evan, you're so smart, but you're so stupid. It's the division series. Why do you call it the divisional series?
I thought it was the divisional series, too.
Yeah. You know what? I never really thought about it, but I call it that.
So you think he's going to do it at home?
Yeah, I think it's going to be home. You know why I call it that?
Why?
Because in the NFL, it is.
Oh, the divisional round. That's
right. It hit me. Why? It's the division series in baseball. I always call it the divisional series, but it's not. But why do I call it divisional series? In the NFL, it's divisional series.
And I never understand why you call it that anyway. You're not playing people in your division typically.
Yeah, well, why is it called a wild card series if not every team's a wild card?
Because you're a wild card.
But you're not.
Yes,
the Brewers aren't a wild card.
You didn't win your division. You're a wild card to the whole format.
Okay. The Brewers won their division.
Okay, but they're playing
in
a wild card.
In the NFL, all the division winners except for one play in the wild card
round. Because I think the teams you don't expect to make runs are wild cards.
Now you're just explaining away something that I already proved to you.
All
That's
right.
what you're doing.
Whatever.
All right, thank you for your Cinco, Sean. Let's get to some of your calls. A very busy Friday, 888-808-1019. We'll make our NFL picks coming up. And I have felt this way all week. I have confidence in the Jets. I don't know what it is. And it's before the Mets won game three, so you can't even say it's connected to the Mets. I have an eerie confidence that the Jets are going to surprise a lot of people and put it all together and beat the Vikings on Sunday. We'll get to that coming up. Brian is in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great, Evan. How are we feeling today? Feeling good?
Oh, yeah. Feeling very good, sir.
I don't know if you remember. I called a little bit before the All-Star break about giving Lindor's flowers. I think maybe a couple people have given him some roses since then.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's gotten a few rosebuds over the last few months.
So what I wanted to call about, you know, I could talk about Pete or everyone's talking about Winker, Pete, Lindor, but I think something that's kind of gotten lost in the sauce, Starling Marte.
No doubt.
You know, who got on base before Lindor hit that big bomb? Who got in that, you know, that insurance run last night? And ever since he's gotten back from being hurt, I mean, he's been consistently very good in, like, big key spots. He always seems to be that factor every time something goes our way,
if,
at least what I've noticed.
I think, and it's a good call, Brian, I think if you're going to go on a run, you're going to have a magical run, you need everybody at times to contribute, and Starling Marte has been one of them. I know last night, after Pete hit the home run, as exhilarated as it was, as much as I was shaking, I was physically shaking after Pete hit the home run. Like, I was vibrating. I don't know why. My hands were vibrating.
Wow.
And you could almost tell in my scorecard, I retweeted the image of my scorecard from last night's game, that the home run is not as neat as the other things I wrote. Because I was shaking. Physically shaking. But after that home run, I started to think to myself, they need another run. They yeah. got to give David Peterson or whoever they were going to go to into the bottom of the ninth inning an extra run. And not only does Jesse Winker get hit by a pitch for the second time, not only does he steal second base, all that's great. Starling Marte behind in the count, yeah. slapping the ball to right field to drive that run in. It was a very significant play in this game. And sometimes you do have to remember the little things. Francisco Lindor's at-bat, to me, is one of the all-time at-bats. And Brandon Nimmo being behind in the count 0-2 and hitting one of the most unhittable pitches in baseball, that sidewinder by Devin Williams and ripping it up the middle, incredible.
And how about Nimmo, by the way? Doesn't tell basically anybody his grandmother passed away right before the game.
Yeah, I saw
and then,
that.
And then has that kind of moment. That's just incredible to be able to play with that kind of emotion.
Absolutely. And he was grieving and played incredibly well. And here we are. The Mets are in the division series. And not only that, the Mets won something else this week. They won the battle that you want to watch them. Because the ratings for last night's Met Brewer game is not only the highest rated wild card game ever, it's only four different times, but if I gave you the Cinco de Five-O on the five highest rated wild card games in the history of baseball, granted it's only 4 years, 20, 22, 23, 24. Want to hear the Cinco?
Yeah, they're all Met games.
They're all Met games. Oh, if you want me to spoil it for you, sure.
Sure.
Number five, Mets-Padres game two. Number four, Mets-Padres game one. Number three, Mets-Brewers game two. Number four, Mets-Padres game three. And number one, Mets-Brewers game three.
Good for the Mets.
Rating juggernaut.
Yeah, they own that wild card rating.
They do. Here's the real question, and Loogie will make his phone calls necessary to get us the answer on Monday.
Slippery Pete?
Slippery Pete will get a phone call. Yep. The Mets and the Giants are going head-to-head at the exact same time. New York football Giants, 425, Tiki Barber on the call. Giants, Seahawks. Mets versus Phillies, 408 on FS1. So, a little bit of a different audience because it's FS1 versus CBS. I am curious to hear the New York-only rating for the football Giants versus the New York Mets.
Do we predict it?
Well, frame of reference. When we did this a few weeks ago with the Mets and the Yankees playing regular season games and the Jets and the Giants playing games, if memory serves correct, the Jets won. They had about 800,000. The Giants had about 700,000,
yeah.
And the Mets and Yankees were in the one. So football won by a lot. This is now a playoff game. So if the Giants were in the sevens, I would assume that number is going to be similar, maybe a little bit higher because it's the 425 window as compared to 1 o'clock.
And the only game locally that's being shown here, you're getting 2 1 o'clocks locally.
Correct. So it's literally, if you want to watch sports, or of the major sports, because I can't speak on much else, it's the Giants versus the Mets. So, yeah.
I think the Giants will rate very high, but the Mets will have a higher number than I think people think. So Giants will win with a higher number than they did when we last time did that, but the Mets are going to have a very significant number on FS1.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Giants will be at about 1 million. I think the Mets will be at about 700,000.
And I usually think the NFL doesn't care about things like this. Boy, did the NFL get in cahoots with the city of Philadelphia. The Phillies make this run the last couple years. Suddenly the Phillies and their fans, Sunday 4 o'clock, prime Eagle time. The Eagles have a freaking bye this week already?
Mm.
I mean, how does a Philly fan luck out like that? They have no worry with their football team.
That's a good spot to be in.
Yeah. Thank you, Sal Licata, for the helmets that reminded me of the Eagles have a bye, because I signed it.
Sal did a great job. Yeah. He put helmets in the studio. I think it's Sal. BT could have done it. But I guess we assume Sal because he has all those trinkets of the football helmets showing us the NFL matchups.
And I just referenced it. That's how I knew the Eagles were on the bye.
That's a good job by you. Well, Philly is in a simple world. They only have one team. We're in a very complicated world. We got two baseball teams. We got two football teams.
But they care so, like, the Eagles are everything in that town. I know that they care so much about the Phillies. To have the Eagles on a bye on a weekend like this, we get 2 4 o'clock games.
Yeah, no.
What a gift to their baseball fans.
It works out well. And it's a gift for Yankee fans because they don't play on Sunday. The Yankees have the anomaly of playing game one Saturday, off day Sunday, game two on Monday, off day Tuesday. Let's go to Zach in Massapequa. Hey, Zach. Hello, Zach. All right, Zach is gone. I cut him off. I apologize. We got to move quickly. Nick is in Holtsville. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Not much. So I'm calling about the Mets because I called Wednesday night overnight. I was just so negative. Like, I couldn't believe they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how much of a disappointment this was. C-Mac kind of tried talking me out of it. But last night, I wasn't feeling good. I fell asleep. I missed perhaps the best game and one of the biggest moments of the season.
You fell?
Yeah,
okay.
I woke up. I go to my wife. I'm like, why didn't you wake me up?
Okay, I got a lot of questions. When in the game did you fall asleep?
I fell asleep before it started because I wasn't feeling well. I'm like, I'm going to lay down.
When you woke up, what time was it, and how did you find out about what happened?
It was 10:30, and I grabbed my phone, and I got the alert from ESPN that the Mets won 4-2, and then a bunch of voice messages from my dad calling the Pete Alonso home run before it happened, like, in the game, if you look at the time. I was just like, are you kidding me? I missed the biggest, I saw the disappointment of Wednesday, and I missed it.
I have to ask, though. Now, I respect, if you didn't have to get up for work and it was about you not feeling good, we've all been there where your body just is depleted. How is it, though, not even 24 hours later? You sound totally fine driving a motor vehicle. If you were that sick that you slept through the Met game, shouldn't you still be in bed?
Well, here's the thing. I work two jobs.
Okay.
So Wednesday night, I was out late working. I had off all day yesterday.
I understand. I'm going to defend them falling asleep in this regard, especially because it was before the game. So the intensity hadn't started yet. This has happened to me one time where I fell asleep before a playoff game. And I think you're going to all laugh and say, oh, that doesn't count. I guarantee it. I had something done with me, an endoscopy. Is that what it's called? Endoscopy?
You're talking about the colonoscopy?
Endoscopy. Endoscopy. Oh, okay. No, it's not that. So I had that done with me. And the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, were playing a playoff game, but it was the pandemic. It was a 2:00 afternoon game against the Raptors. And I couldn't work. I was exhausted and drugged up. And I passed out before the game started. Now, I agree. Is that really the playoffs?
The Nets don't even remember playing in that game.
No, I know. But the rookie mistake that he made is that if you had DVR'd the game and not checked your phone, you could have watched it. I know people don't like doing that, but in an emergency scenario of, I fell asleep, this is why you should automatically record every sporting event that you love. I'm telling you.
You're right and wrong, but he probably still gets spoiled because he didn't know he was falling asleep. He was out of it. He fell asleep. And then the first thing you need to do is you look at your phone and you get a million text messages and voicemails.
Well, maybe you don't check your phone. Why does that have to be the first thing you do?
It's the first thing every American
What's
does.
Wrong with us?
We got problems. We're sick.
I had the DVR at the beginning of last night. I work here. I got home at about 7:40. I needed to do some things like go to the bathroom, hug my kids, start the game. I caught up eventually, so I was live, but DVR is your friend, man. Don't check your phone. I didn't check my phone to see the Mets text chat basically end the season 34 times.
By the way, Jet Roberts, I think, needs to understand there could be good times ahead of him because I could relate to him. I fell asleep as a 9-year-old boy on the Lyritz game in 96.
Oh.
Woke up to my dad eating the frosted mini weeds going, you ever going to fall asleep? I was almost punished for falling asleep. Never fell asleep on a game again after that, and it started a dynasty. So maybe Jet's got a little Met dynasty.
Maybe.
We'll see.
That is possible. If you missed it earlier, you could rewind on the Odyssey app. We all have memories from last night's game. It's one of those things that you'll remember forever. And my son was scoring the game with me, 7th inning after the back-to-back home runs, passed out during a commercial break. And in the middle of the night, I said, Jed, you're not going to believe it. What happened, Dad? Game-winning home run, Pete Alonso. It was a magical moment.
That's a great dad.
Speaking of magical moments, when we come back, my partner for a million years. We've experienced a lot of bad moments together and some good ones. What does the great Joe Beningo think of what happened last night? We'll check in with Joe coming up, and we'll get back to your phone calls. We'll also make our NFL picks for this weekend's game. What a day it's been on the heels of one of the most miraculous Met victories you'll ever see. We needed to hear from this guy. Man, I worked with for many, many years. You hear him on Mondays after Jet games. We'll talk to him next week as well. The great Joe Beningo, and his call-in is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here. By Approved Oil, lock in your new loyal oil rate at freezetherate.com. And by HO Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Bro, can you believe what we saw last night?
You know what? I can't believe what I've seen all year, Ev. I got to tell you, bro. I mean, this team, look, I mean, I've seen every year. I mean, I've seen it all. You know, the 120 losses right on up, 69, 73, you know, 86, 2015, all, you know, nothing has been like this. You know, Gary Cohen had the great call, and it really kind of, you know, after they made the playoffs when he said from, you know, from 0-5 to OMG. And that's really what it's been. I mean, they're on this magical run. They win games. How about his? To me, this is the most amazing thing about this baseball team, and we have seen it all year, okay? How many games they don't hit five innings, six innings, seven innings? We saw it in the clincher against Atlanta. We saw it during the regular season. How many times the game in Toronto, they get no hit for eight innings. Lindor hits a home run. They come back and win the game. This happens over and over and over again, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. And then all of a sudden, last night, it's out after out after out. Lindor gets the only two hits, one fly ball after another. You know, you're thinking, man, we're dead in the water.
Yeah.
We're dead in the water. And then here comes the ninth inning. Lindor walks. Nimmo gets the hit. And Pete hits the three-run home run. And it's, boy, what a tremendous moment. And for Pete, you know. I know a lot of people, even some me sometimes, I'm saying, you know, Pete's writing his ticket out of town
here
with what's going on, you know? And for him to hit that homer last night, man, just unbelievable. And hopefully now this gets him off the snide and we see him get red hot going forward now into this Philly series and, you know, hopefully beyond. And I tell you, bro, with the way this team is right now, I mean, how can I believe that they can't go deep here, real deep?
When Pete came up after that incredible Lindor at-bat, which is going to be underrated, but one of the great at-bats you'll ever see against Williams, and even Nimmo behind on the count, when Pete came up, what did you honestly think was going
to
happen?
You know, I didn't know. He got to the count, got to 3-1. I think I was probably thinking walk. When he got, excuse me, bro, when he got to 3-1, I was thinking, okay, Pete's going to walk, base is loaded, Iglesias is coming up next. He, you know, he's been huge with the base, you know, with runners in scoring position. He's had this ridiculous year. That's what I was thinking. And then when he hit it, you could see that he knew it was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he did his thing, what he does when he, you know, kind of double clutches the bat, like, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits it, and he knew it was gone. And it just, I mean, it's a moment, you know. We don't have a lot of moments, bro.
No.
You and I, you know, let's be honest. I mean, we root for different hockey and basketball teams, but even then, you know, there's not a lot of moments that we get. And certainly our baseball team, our football team, and we have had so many moments. I mean, just this week alone.
I know. Just this week. It's nuts to think about.
Right?
And I know that you and I were lockstep in March. We want Pete back. And we want this guy to be a long-term man. And he tested all of us this year because he did not have a great year. And it felt like he was choking under the pressure over the last few weeks.
No question.
I honestly thought after the foul drop-up,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bad was that?
I thought to myself, he's done here. Like, he is not going to be
this
able to
recover.
This is
our last memory of Pete. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't hurt him. Thankfully, it didn't hurt him.
Right.
And by the way, give Diaz tremendous credit here. Mm. I mean, to me, Edwin Diaz has moved himself. He might be the greatest closer we've ever had. I mean, you got to start to talk about him in that conversation. And what a week this guy's had. You know, he blows the game in Atlanta. He doesn't cover first with that play with Alonso.
Right.
And he comes back. Give me, you know what he said to Carlos.
Yep.
Give me the you-know-what ball. And you know, he closes it out after Lindor hits the home run. I think he's thrown 105 pitches in the last week. And even yesterday, he got five outs, kept him in the game. They were stealing bases on him left and right. And it didn't matter. You got to give Diaz tremendous credit.
Tons of credit. Jose Quintana gave an incredible performance.
Was he? Yeah. Now, what is this? Sanga's pitching tomorrow? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. What a stunner this is.
Are you kidding me?
Do you hate it or do you like this move?
No. What's there to hate? Bro, right now, I know you don't think house money, but the Mets are playing with tremendous house money, and that makes them even more dangerous. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Phillies were rooting for Milwaukee. I know they would never admit this. They want no part of the Mets. You know that. I mean, and I loved it we're playing Philadelphia.
I
got to tell you.
The Phillies, the last 2 years, beat a division rival that were better than them in the regular season. So they should know how dangerous this is, considering they did to Atlanta what we're trying to do to them coming up.
No question. I love the fact Senga's pitching. So what's the rotation after that? Who's pitching after
that? So Luis Severino's going to pitch game two.
Right, and then Minaya?
It hasn't been officially announced, but logic says Minaya game three.
Back at City.
Quintana game four back at City. And then in game
David
five.
David Peterson to close it out?
See, I think Peterson's going to pitch a lot tomorrow after Kodai Senga. That would be my assumption.
True. You know what? That's a good point.
And
you're
so
right about
if
that.
It gets to a game five, I think it's just going to be based on how guys pitched. If Peterson looks great again, it's him. If Severino pitches great, it's him. Like, I think they'll make – we know what the Phillies are going to do. They're going to go back to Zach Wheeler. He's their clear ace.
Of course.
But I think the Mets have a lot of different options on how they want to handle this. But the Senga thing was a stunner only because, you know, he has the rehab start. There's a setback. And all we're hearing about is bullpen sessions. Like, we really expect that the guy's going to come back. But apparently, in Japan, he's known as one of the best money pitchers of all time. Like, he's had a lot of big Japanese playoff moments.
Good. Let's go. Let's just get, you know, what we got to do is split this. We got a 3 out of 5. They can split the first two. I tell you, man, I don't know if I've ever felt like this. I mean, I just, you know, we've seen a lot of good years. We got to the World Series in 15 with the Cespedes thing and losing to the Yankees in 2000. This is different. I can't explain it. There's just such a different feel to this baseball team. You know, the starting pitching has come out of nowhere. How about David Peterson closing the game out? Now, I don't know how you feel, but I'm watching the game last night, and I'm saying he's got to come back with Diaz to close the game, doesn't he? I know he's thrown a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
And then I see Peterson up in the pen, and I'm saying, I don't know if I like this. And then he comes in, he gives up a hit right away. And, you know, eventually he gets it done. What a year he's had, bro. Everybody talks about Vientos. How about Peterson?
Yeah.
We never thought this guy was any good.
No shot at all. I think that his response in that Milwaukee game, a game they had to have. Because remember, he didn't pitch well against the Phillies. He didn't pitch that well before that against Toronto. Like, he started to struggle, but he delivered
a little bit.
A brilliant performance against the Brewers in a game they had
last
to have.
Sunday. Yep, one
that
hitter.
That I was like, you know what? They should go to him just because Diaz had thrown so many freaking pitches.
Right.
The idea that he was going to be able to come back and get three more outs didn't feel realistic, but you're right. I mean, David Peterson and Mark Vientos were on the team last year, and we just figured, what are they? Are they even major leaguers? And they have been two incredibly impactful players for this team.
And I have to say, a couple guys, other guys I want to point out. First of all, Iglesias. And you can really almost go back to when he came up and got on the team where this team really took off.
Yep.
He has been unbelievable in every aspect of the game. Big hits. You know, the other night in game one, he slides into first, gets the big hit, you know, they take the lead in the game. You know, how about Tyrone Taylor? How good has this guy been? I mean, you know, David Stearns, who I was down on, and boy, was I wrong, and Uncle Stevie, I mean, every guy he brought in has gotten the job done.
Yeah.
And the best move he's made was Carlos Mendoza.
Yeah.
This guy is a tremendous manager. I mean, it's how they play for him, how he has kept this team together. I can't say enough about him, but Iglesias has been unbelievable. Francisco Lindor has become one of the great Mets now. I was down on that trade when they made it with Cleveland. I was down on giving him $340 million over 10 years. I was down on all that. And he has proven me wrong. He plays every day. I know he got hurt at the end of the year, but this guy plays 162 games a year. He plays brilliant shortstop. That at-bat, like you said last night, was unbelievable in the ninth inning, knowing he had to get on. He's the only guy that got a couple hits in the game before that. We'll never forget the home run in Atlanta. I mean, the guy's just had a sensational year. I mean, but we could go down the line on basically everybody because everybody has contributed to this baseball team. Everybody.
Yeah. Jesse Winker. I mean, he pisses off the Brewers. He used to piss us off, and now he's our favorite.
Well,
it's amazing.
Jesse Winker has kind of become the Sean Avery of baseball.
Yeah,
you know, if he's on your team, you'll love him.
That's right.
If he's on the other team, you can't stand the guy.
Yes.
And that's basically what Winker was. And how about Winker stealing second base in the ninth inning, bro?
Incredible.
Are you kidding me?
And that was so important because we're all thinking the same thing. They need to score another damn run.
Yep, and Marte, who really has had a very good season. I mean, Marte, he hasn't hit a home run since he came back from his injury, but he has gotten a ton of big hits in this series going to right field.
Yep.
He got the big hit. Let's not forget this hit. Right before Lindor hit the home run in Atlanta, Marte got a base hit to right field to set it up. He's on base. I mean, you know, that hit kind of gets lost in a shuffle. It's amazing how everybody has contributed to what this team is doing.
So when we talked a few days ago after that crazy, I can't believe it was this week, but the Monday game against Atlanta, it was this week.
By the way, Atlanta's gone. See you. See you, Braves.
See you later.
See you, Braves.
That Lindor home run was probably the greatest regular season home run we'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And that one is easy.
Yeah.
I've had this question asked to me a lot so far today. You've got a larger frame of reference than I do, remembering 86, remembering 69. Where does Pete's home run rank all time?
Boy, I tell you, it's right up there. And I think it's right up there not only because it clinches the series for them, but because of what it meant to Pete.
Yes.
You know, I think the whole Pete has his moment now. This is, you know, no matter what happens from here on in, if he's playing first base, God forbid, for the Astros or something next year, okay, the Cubs, whatever, Pete has now ingrained himself forever with this franchise. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I mean, this is an all-time moment, and at the most unlikeliest time when the guy just wasn't doing anything. And like you said, that pop-up, just incredible. And I think, you know what? We'll see where he goes from here. He might really take off now, and if he does, they're going to re-sign him. I really believe it. He's coming back. I really do. Now, I still want Juan Soto, and I still got to see Uncle Stevie make the biggest bid there is for Soto, okay?
Right. Yes.
Even though I still think he's staying with the Yankees. But I want to see Pete come back. He deserves to be back. He's an all-time Met, and he deserves to be here.
I know it is so far away, but I'm curious how you feel about this. With the American League being cleared, with the Astros being knocked off, mm-hmm. with the Orioles being knocked mm-hmm. off, the Yankees are obviously huge favorites.
They're going to the World Series. Okay. There's no doubt in my mind. 100%.
As a Met fan, in 2000, I don't think you didn't want the Subway World Series in 2000,
no,
right?
I definitely don't.
Do you want it in 2024?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. I hate to go here, but this is how I'm thinking. I should not do this. I don't want to do this, and I want to be killed when I do it. But I'm not saying it's happening, but it is all there, man. You got the Phillies. You got the hated. I would like to stick it to the Golden Boy in L.A. Okay, all right. You know, Mr. All-Time Greatest Player that ever breathed. All right. You know. By the way, how's your interpreter doing? Anyway, stick it to them, and then play the Yankees. And I'm going to tell you this right now. And every Yankee fan, I don't know if Marash is out there. Every Yankee fan will admit this: you do not want to play us.
Oh, you got to be kidding me, Joe. I want you guys bad.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Big Bad Severino going to crap his pants in the stadium.
All right, we'll see, bro. We'll see. We'll see. You know, we'll see. We got a little magic going. You don't have magic. You just got the same old. Now you got to get it done.
Soto's the same old, Joe?
Yeah, well, we got to win. Let's see you win.
You know why
they cleared the path for you, bro. You got it.
You're right about that.
You got to walk to the World Series now. We don't have a walk. We got to go through the Phillies. We got to go through the Ohtanis. So we got a long way to go.
No, that's right.
Now we got a long way to go to get there, and we got a much tougher road to get there, as you know. But this team's got a little something.
It's weird.
And I'm not saying they're winning the World Series.
Right.
All I'm saying is they got a little something going here.
They got magic. No, meanwhile, the Phillies, Dodgers, and Yankees have no magic because they've had to sit on their tuchuses for five days. I think there's oddly a disadvantage to these teams who have to wait there for 5 days.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, the only thing with the Yankees is they're playing teams that are total house money teams. I mean, you're playing Kansas City, right? I mean, let's be honest. You know, I don't see George Brett anywhere.
Lugo's there, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I get it. And Witt.
Bobby
and
Witt's great, yes.
Right. Yeah. But like I said, I don't see George Brett getting ready to hit one off Goose Gossage, you know, to the moon, or hit three off Catfish in a playoff game, you know, or the one he hit off Grant Jackson in the Chambliss game. I don't see him there, okay? And that was a great rivalry. You guys were guys weren't around for it, but
I like hearing about it because they genuinely hate each other.
The 70s rivalry with the Yankees and the Royals, and the Yankees beat them 3 years in a row in 76, 77, and 78, and then finally the Royals won in 80. That was one of the great, that was must-see baseball, as good as it got. It back then. So I just want to throw that out there. But this is not the same Royals. And, you know, but we'll have to see. Is this a championship Yankee team? You know, that those teams were. This team now has to prove that they are. But it's all set up for them. It really is.
Look, the road is American League Central teams. I mean, that's the road.
Yeah.
But now
how good is Cleveland? I don't know how good they are.
Look, I think the Royals are no pushover. Bobby Witt Jr. is a tremendous player.
Right.
They still
have
Salvador Perez, who haunts my dreams from 2015.
Yeah, I know.
And I think the Royals have a really good pitching staff. Like I was saying this before, I think the Royals have the starting pitching edge in every game against the Yankees outside of the Gerrit Cole game. I really do. When you look at their lefty, Cole Reagans was really good, and Seth Lugo.
Right.
But nevertheless, you're right. The Yankees Yankees are prohibitive favorites.
Prohibitive favorites.
And they got
to
get there.
If you don't
get
to the World Series this year, Sean, man, I'll tell you, man. When are you getting?
Joe,
when are you going?
Joe,
I mean, come on.
Everybody better be fired if they don't get to the World Series.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, thank you so much for Carlos Mendoza. I mean,
he's how great.
He's just unbelievable. I didn't even know who this guy was, to be honest with you. And I just love this guy. I wish he could coach the football team.
And think about this. The two former lieutenants of Aaron Boone are facing each other.
Carlos Mendoza
and Rob Thompson.
Yeah.
Speaking of the football team.
Yes.
I this is me being crazy. Tell me if you're with me on this. All the negativity from this week. You know, the Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh cadence thing. Garrett Wilson made a comment that appeared to be a shot at the offense.
Right,
I don't think it was.
Right.
Everybody's kind of down. I actually feel very good now going into London against the Vikings. What's your feel going into this game?
Yeah, I don't know how to feel. I'll say this. I'll say this about it. As long as we got this quarterback, I feel we got a chance to beat anybody. I mean, I do believe that. He didn't play his best game last week, you know. And I don't blame him for the loss. I mean, he was running for his life the entire game. He got the you-know-what beat out of him. Now, the offensive line has got to play a lot better. They got to be able to run the ball. They got to be a little smarter on the goal line, give Braylon Allen the football. Why not? I mean, look, the Vikings are due to lose. They're 4-0. They're not going undefeated. You know, maybe a little of the Sam Darnold, you know, the bloom comes off the rose here. So I got a feeling Rodgers is going to have a big game here. I really do. I feel confident because of him. I'll say that.
And then we'll be set up for a huge Monday night
right,
of Jets-Bills, which, not to look ahead, would also be the same day as Game 2 of the NLCS. I'm just saying.
Right.
Just pointing that out.
Tomorrow is 4:00. What is it? ESPN again?
Now it's Fox. FS1, I think.
They stink too. Yeah. Fox is terrible.
Look, we're screwed. I mean, we don't have Gary, Keith, and Ron.
No, it's horrible.
It doesn't matter.
They got to do something about that. You know, at least what they should do is what they used to do when I was growing up, and have in the World Series, they'd always have one of the local announcers do the games. They don't do that anymore. They should. So what is that? Smoltz, Fox?
No, I don't even think they're getting
Adam
the A crew. Yeah,
because. Who?
Adam Amin, he calls a lot of Giant games, Joe.
Does
he calls the back end of the NFC.
Okay.
And who's doing the analyst work? Do we know?
I think it's Pierzynski.
A.J. Pierzynski.
Oh, is that who it is? A.J. Pierzynski?
What a disaster.
Oh, that's a hard... All right, so 4 o'clock tomorrow. Sunday, what time?
4 o'clock
on
Sunday.
And Wainwright, by the way. Adam Wainwright.
Oh, my God.
But just who I want to see in Met playoff games.
Look,
Adam Wainwright. I mean, come on.
God. Yeah, 4 o'clock Saturday, 4 o'clock Sunday. They have not announced the home games on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Could be afternoon games, right?
I think they will be, because I think they're going to put Ohtani and the Dodgers in prime time.
Right, right. And so what are the Yankees playing tomorrow?
Tomorrow they're at 6:38, and then Monday, because they have an off day Sunday, Monday at 7:38.
Huh, they got an off day? They haven't played for like a week, and they get an off day again?
I know, it's crazy.
I mean, what,
off day, game, off day, game, off day, game. It makes no sense.
And what's the early game tomorrow? The Guardians?
They got no, tomorrow is, oh my God.
It's got to be,
yeah,
right?
You're right. It's everybody, actually. Everybody plays tomorrow, so it's the
right,
Cleveland.
Right, but the Guardians are the early game, right?
Yeah, they're 1 o'clock against Detroit. Right. Mets are at 4, Yankees at 6:38, Dodgers, Padres at 8:30.
And who's this big left? What's the left-hander for the Tigers, the big pitcher? What's
Tariq Skubal.
Skubal.
Yeah.
Is he pitching now? Is he pitching tomorrow?
He's not pitching game one because they used him in the wild card series. So I think he's coming back for game two against Cleveland on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm watching. Yeah. I was watching the time because I had interest in Houston only because to see if the Yankees were going to get them out finally. And I'm watching. I'm telling you, bro, I don't know anybody on the Tigers.
No.
Nobody.
Guess what? Tiger fans don't either.
I mean, who are these guys?
It's amazing what
they're obviously
doing.
I know a lot of Astros. I know, obviously, Altuve, Bregman, all these, Jordan Alvarez, all those guys. But, I don't know nobody on the Detroit Tigers.
They've been an incredible story. We'll see if they can keep it going. Joe, thank you, man. Have a
great
weekend, bro.
All the love. See you.
The great Joe Beningo. You can catch him tomorrow right here on The Fan at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. He'll be back with us on Monday at 4 o'clock.